Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of seven discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May of 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
From your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
To suck on candies on the train, because then it keeps people from sitting next to me.
Yeah, that's probably the
You pop about three or four butterscotch candies in your mouth, and you sit there going, and you juggle them around, you know, and then, but I also kind of pump my arms aside, like, nobody sits next to this guy, riding solo.
Like a homeless person.
No. I call it being a Subway bachelor. Look at that swinging Subway bachelor over there. Ain't nobody's got the courage to sit next to him.
I'd sit next to you, buddy.
I know you will, because you have bad clots in your legs and you have to sit down.
Yeah, you know it. That's what I do. Okay, now we're recording now?
Benny's got clots.
Yeah, they're going to shoot me one day. It's like a little shotgun for my right leg. All right, that's Marcus. I'm Ben. And then here we go over here. I don't know who it's going to be today. I'm very excited.
Henry doesn't have clots, Zabrowski.
Oh, wow. Yes. Healthy Henry Zabrowski.
I mean, I don't have any visible clots like you do.
Right.
Or I imagine mine are more like the silent deadly, slowly waiting in my spine, working their way up to my brain.
That's right. Well, that's a good way to go. You
right?
Know?
I fucking, stroke? Is that really how you want to die?
Yeah, stroke is great.
Unless the stroke misses, and then you are fucked.
How does the stroke miss? It's not like an arrow.
You can get like a halvesy stroke, and then you got droop face.
But droop face, you can recover from. That WWE announcer, Jim Ross.
No, he never
Ross.
Recovered.
He looks pretty good.
No, he looks okay. I mean, he looks comparatively better.
I wish they
could see. He was never attractive to begin with.
Oh, no, here comes Triple H. He's doing an amazing thing. I've never seen.
This is me not moving my lips.
Hellfire and brimstone.
It's clean.
It sounds good.
That's what he sounded like when he first came back.
Yeah,
it
of course
like
he did.
If an ass cheek could talk. That's exactly what it sounded
like. It's like if a Ronald Reagan mask could talk.
Right.
That's
right.
Like what he looks like. Bump, bump.
Oh, well, speaking of entertainment.
Well, this is what I'm saying now. I would just rather die of a massive heart attack, because then it's boom!
You're on your way, my friend.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If that's what you want, you're good to go.
Oh, yeah. I'm taking the express lane to Cholesterol Town. loving my iced coffee.
I love cholesterol. God, that sounded fat. I've never heard that was a liquid.
I've never
heard somebody drink an iced coffee like it was straight up lard out of a goddamn goose's ass.
That's my performer's ability.
That was phenomenal.
That's pretty good.
Speaking of performers and wonderful theatrics, today we're going to discuss what films you need to see this Halloween season.
It's Halloween time. Get your witch's hat out and get your sage brushes.
Sagebrushes.
What is
a sagebrush exactly?
Get your lamb skulls.
A sage, that's what you burn to get witches out of there.
Leave the sage at the house.
So if you're a witch and you put on your witch's hat and then you light the sage, do you exist?
It's Halloween time.
Indeed. So we all picked six features that you guys must go out and see this wonderful time of year. And
this is perfect for Again, this is like, I watch horror movies. I mean, we all watch horror movies 12 months out of the year. But for those of you that casually dip your toe into the world of horror, as some of you may
get it out of the water! Get it out of the water! There's a fucking shark in the water!
No.
It loves toes.
This is each one of our top six picks, and we have different reason for picking it. So it can be, so it's 666.
Sign of the Devil!
Our Sign of the Devil horror picks of the 2012 Halloween season.
That's right. All right, I'll just start it right off here. I'm going to go with a remake classic. I have a double feature for you. DVD box set, Rob Zombie's Halloween 1 and 2.
You love them because Mike Myers is your spirit animal.
Mike Myers is my spirit animal. I think his spirit animal was a coyote. It was rabbit. But then Michael Myers is mine. I was actually having a conversation with you yesterday, Henry, and your lady friend's friend, Erica, about child psychiatry.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go to a psychiatrist as a child. And
who knew? Why?
I don't know.
Who could possibly have anything to do with this beautiful brain of yours?
I know it. They treated me like I was a damn retard, and I had to do little puzzles and everything. And
you were just bigger than the doctor.
I was bigger than everybody. But all I just have a memory of I went to this female psychiatrist. I have no idea what I said to her, but I just remember her. She was crying, and then she told my parents she would never see me again, and then my doctor prescribed me a bunch of medications. So,
cool. Anyhoot,
that's why I relate to that Michael Myers. And I thought Rob Zombie touched on the young, innocent Michael Myers better than, what was it, John Carpenter in some ways.
Yeah.
So that's what I really enjoyed, 1 and 2. Not to mention a brutal, brutal killer and iconic stabs. The straight arm stab, straight up muscle. By the way, I will be it's too late, but on Friday I'll be performing with Murder Fist and I'll be playing Michael Myers.
Yes.
And I got that stabbing motion down right. So.
Yes. And he definitely bruised us pretty horribly the last time we did this. Yeah, you know, so I'm really excited for how hard you're going to hurt us again.
Oh, it's going to be real.
Yes, yeah. I know that.
Hopefully we don't have a Brandon Lee moment where I replace the fake knife with the real knife and I stab all of Murder
really
Fist on
stage. I really hope that it would be bad if that happened.
That would be bad.
Who would you let go?
He had a very sinister look on his face, which is, by the way, the hottest new movie coming out on Friday as well. Sinister.
Well, yeah, but this will be after that, so we're in the past. So Sinister's out, and we've seen it, and we loved it.
Yeah, we loved it.
So here's my first choice.
All right, so
we should do round robin.
Yeah, oh, of course.
Mine's following. So I pick mine for different parameters. The first one is more. It's like my general top pick. It's one of my favorite horror movies of all time. I think it's a movie that's good for if you're cryptically alone or if you have a couple, a girlfriend who is down or a boyfriend who is down to see this type of film.
I just want to know what cryptically alone means.
What my life is like when I'm alone. it's the film, continuing along the Rob Zombie line here, it's House of a Thousand Corpses.
Oh, right. One of my favorites. Almost on my list.
House of a Thousand Corpses is the perfect horror film. You've got people you want to see get murdered, and then with some of the best newly iconic killers in cinema history, I would have put Devil's Rejects on there, but when it comes down to it, House of a Thousand Corpses is a little bit more fun.
You
want to
sell it in a box set? You can do a box set.
You can.
Okay.
But I would argue that Devil's Rejects is not a horror movie. I think it's more of an action movie.
I would say that it's like a crime movie.
Yeah.
But it features serial killers, so it borders on, horror. But House of a Thousand Corpses has just got all the elements. It's amazing. The art directions that me, and I used
to
think.
We have clowns. We have a Dr. Satan.
Yeah.
And four innocent youths.
And you've got your Manson character. You got your Otis.
Absolutely.
Otis is one of my favorite horror movie characters.
Mental block!
I'm the devil, and I'm here to do the devil's work.
I'm as real as I want to be, baby.
I think that he's fucking great. He's a true American hero.
Yeah. He is a true American hero.
In fact, my cowman makeup that I wear is inspired by Otis's makeup at the near the end of House of
yes,
a Thousand Corpses.
I used to think that that movie like jumped the shark at the end with the Dr. Satan bit, but I don't think so anymore. Now, upon rewatching it, I love it.
Yep, yeah, I like it as well.
Now that I just love anything that's extreme, it's the best.
It's just funny because Otis fancies himself an artist the same way that Hitler fancied himself an artist as well. You know?
I mean, Hitler painted paintings and then killed 6 million Jews. Otis was putting them all
together.
Made
a merman.
Yeah. He made a fish boy.
I love fish boy so much. And then, of course, the great stand-up comedy scene in there. Eating her pussy! You're gonna wake up grandma! Oh, and I love love, I forget, he plays Dwight in The Office. Rainn Wilson.
Rainn Wilson. Yeah. Thank God he got murdered. I was so happy to see fucking Dwight get murdered is the best. I hate Dwight.
Yeah, and Chris Hardwick, even better.
Oh, a fucking murderer is ass.
And
kill
the movie,
that guy.
Movie slightly educational. When they go through the horror ride, you learn about H.H. Holmes. You learn about some very, very
Albert
fun
Fish.
People.
Albert really Fish.
And then Dr. Satan, who I wish was real.
Yeah, I know it. Well, we don't know. We can go find him.
Nice.
That's our next mission.
Halloween.
Yeah. All right, Marcus.
It's Halloween.
What's your first movie for this Halloween season?
Well, a lot of my picks are going to be standards. They're going to be classics. Good. Things that I think a lot of our older listeners will, of course, have seen, but maybe some of our young bucks haven't gotten around to them yet.
I think our oldest listener is 13. I think so.
You might remember
this when you were in the womb, 15 years before you were born.
Well, I'm going to start with Evil Dead. And
yeah,
I might as well go for the box set Evil Dead 1 and 2.
That's good.
Because
I love 2.
They go so well together.
I think Evil Dead 2 is scarier than Evil Dead 1.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
We had more of a budget.
But I love Evil Dead 1. One of the reasons why I love it is because you mentioned the budget. If you're like an aspiring filmmaker and you want to see how to make an amazing horror film on a shoestring.
On no
money whatsoever. Fucking watch Evil Dead 1.
Yeah, and it's all your friends that were great actors back in the day, and you just put them in your movies, and they're great. Bruce Campbell was amazing in that.
Yeah, and in Evil Dead 2, you've got Laughing Deerhead, which is terrifying.
Awesome. Yeah.
I don't know why that is so terrifying.
Tree Rape is in 1, right?
Yeah, Tree Rape's in 1.
Okay, cool.
And there is a brand new porn parody called Evil Head.
Interesting.
In which there's a tree gangbang scene.
Of course.
Very fun.
Yeah, I hear it's pretty good. They stay pretty true to the actual movie.
It would be difficult.
And of course, I'd love to see the sequel, Evil Head 2, Head Till Dawn.
That sounds good.
Head by Dawn.
It would be a difficult porno to be a fluffer on, coming back with bark all over your beard.
Oh, yes, definitely.
It was a rough day today, honey.
One of my former bosses working on one of the things I filmed this summer was he used to write porn parodies. And that was a part of what he did. He wrote the Spider-Man porn parody.
And what was that called?
I forget. It was just called Spider-Man XXX. This is not Spider-Man. This ain't Spider-Man XXX, right?
Okay.
And that what they did was, he was just telling stories about how, like, one time, it's like, it's so hard, like, he only let him come to set once because his job was to write the funny scenes. Like, he wrote all the comedy bits in between, and he would write them. And then one time they let him visit set, and he was just him, like, staring at his shoes as, like, everyone's fucking each other. And then, like, they just literally, like, he goes over to Crafty, and he's, like, sitting there, like, getting a granola bar. Naked dude comes over, you know, like, just totally just been done fucking, covered in lube, just sticks his hand in the M&Ms.
The nice thing about being covered in lubes, you don't gotta close your hands to get the M&Ms. You just lick them off your hand.
He's like, how did you think I'd do in that scene, you know?
Well, you definitely came all over her face.
Good work with your fucking.
Surprisingly good porn parody, Seinfeld.
It is weird. That is a weird one.
It's hilarious. It's like a writer of Seinfeld actually wrote the porno.
I mean, I don't know.
Let's move on. I'm sure it's a wonderful ejaculated.
The soup Nazi fucks Elaine.
I can't believe it. I guess there was some soup for her all over her sweet.
Kramer has a threesome
nice
with Sasha Gray.
I don't want to think about it. The porn parody of Seinfeld makes me want to vomit on my ass.
Does he scream the N-word over and over again?
Yeah, exactly. That's probably amazing. Anyway, okay, my number two feature film for this wonderful Halloween season, Phantasm. I love Phantasm. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. And there's a tall man in it. And I think there needs to be more tall man representation in all movies.
The same thing with the Halloween thing, too. You just did Halloween 1 and 2.
I am picking movies that I enjoy, yes.
With tall dudes
They
in
tend
them.
To have tall men in them.
Yeah,
murder,
just you
yes.
project yourself onto the murderers.
Yes. It's like, if there was a...
That's fine.
It is fine, yes. So anyway, Phantasm, watch it because there's a tall fellow in there and he drives my favorite hearse.
Yeah.
Which I always enjoy when the serial killer drives a hearse.
Yeah, I want a hearse.
Yeah.
Me too.
That'd be fun.
I've wanted one for years.
Playing 90s hip-hop out of it.
What would you
wearing a Donald Duck costume.
That's terrifying.
Putting flair in the neighborhood since 1994, Henry Zebrowski.
That's right.
My next choice.
I think he's making our property values go down.
but he's the coolest. So this is I picked this next film because it was a Netflix surprise. I was going through my Netflix queue and my various listings because you watched blah blah blah, because you watched The Sentinel, because you are a big fat weird psycho and you obviously only watch horror films
because you're
Netflix
alone. No one
gory satanic horror movies. That's the one that just won't go away.
It just won't leave.
I wonder if Netflix.
My favorite new one is I get Hong Kong Revenge Flex, which is just like each one's a fucking hit. Each one rules.
Yeah. I wonder. I wish Netflix could like paint a picture of what they think you look like. It would be shockingly accurate.
Oh yeah, just like damn. Yeah, it's all part of their algorithm. They also can tell your weight and your fucking like what's your favorite fat day snack. Oh, his is a basket full of wontons. You can tell from his Hong Kong fucking revenge flick fucking fascination. So this next was sometimes you go through, you know, and the way if you're a person who is chronically fat, you rate all the movies you watch on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And sometimes a thing will pop up and see a horror movie.
But in your head you rate them because you just give them one star on Netflix.
Every time I'm like, fuck you.
One
star. But
I thought it was actually a three star.
Every once in a while, a horror movie will pop up for me that's like a four star, right? And a four star is always like it either blows or it ends up being awesome. Mm-hmm. This one movie I saw, it's a movie called Shaitan. It's from France. It's a fucking awesome horror movie. It is so good. It's a little bit long. There's some found footage stuff in there, but it is so scary and so fun, and it's high energy. But it's French, which is a part of the whole new like French Nouveau horror scene going on right now. When there's a lot of, I put another French movie on my list here too, because they are just making some of the most extreme fun, because it's like funny, but it's also way violent and it's way scary.
The last French one I saw was Delicatessen.
Oh, that movie blows.
I was very upset by it.
It is awful. I fucking hate that movie so much.
People used to love it.
See, it soured me. That movie soured me on French horror movies.
Now I'm into that.
What's the overall theme of this one, Shaitan?
This is people. It's basically this girl at a club leads these group back to her house, which turns out to be the satanic cult.
Great. I love that.
Yeah, so they're all like fucked up on drugs, and then they go find the satanic cult.
Awesome.
Is my favorite. It never happens to me.
No, you don't. That girl happen. Takes you out of the club.
Take me to the club, to your satanic home, and then I will sit there and I won't fight you.
Henry,
I'll be like, yay, I'm here now. This is it, guys. I'm the funny one of the cult.
Yeah. You got the victim.
You got the, no, not the victim, the funny one.
Oh, the funny one. Yeah, the funny one always lives.
No. In the cult, I make them all laugh. I'm breaking the tension when we're trying to decide who's going to wake up Grandpa in order to slice this new girl's throat.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, not me, hong, hong, hong. And they'll be like, Henry.
You're funny, fucking, Henry.
Look at this guy. Don't make him wake up Grandpa.
He's bringing some levity to this whole murder-suicide pack we made.
He's just fucking, he's bumping the watchability, this whole thing up.
I love him. God damn, he looks great in a toga.
Look at him wearing that deer skull. He loves that deer skull. He's got a smile on his face. Everyone else is so serious.
Yeah. It's almost like we just murdered a virgin.
Fuck that.
Who cares? All right, Marcus.
My next one, Cannibal Holocaust.
Ooh, they eat a fucking...
They eat three people. They eat a turtle.
Mm-hmm. In real life, they eat the turtle.
They eat the turtle, yeah. And they eat a muskrat. But the reason why I love this movie is because it's one of the first found footage movies. If you don't know the story of the movie, it's these three documentary filmmakers, these three kids, go to find a cannibal tribe down in South America, and they end up getting murdered.
Hell yeah.
And a man goes down to try to find, see what happened to these
people. A man goes.
A man who is a man.
Half man, half mango. A mango.
Goes down and he finds the footage. And it's great because the whole time you're thinking this evil cannibal tribe has taken these young filmmakers and cut their lives short. But when you find the footage, there's a bit of a twist in the action, and that's what I love.
Cannibal
and the gore is fantastic in it. Well,
yes.
The gore is a little dated these days, but back in the 70s, it was banned in so many different countries.
Because people thought it was real.
The director went on trial in Italy because they thought that it was a true snuff film.
Well, there's a great kill that holds up to this day where they jam a pole through somebody. It goes through through that person's mouth, and it looks awesome.
It looks amazing.
And, so the guy gets on trial for that murder.
Yeah.
And that guy, they had to call him and be like, you have to come here and like prove that you're alive.
Yeah.
So he shows up in the courtroom.
He's got a big pole through him going,
He was born that way. It was the only job he could get. But yeah, Animal.
Got a face, it got this pole. I was born this way.
Lady Gaga's chubby now. Lady Gaga gained 25 pounds, and I think she's much more attractive now than
she
was
so
before.
Yeah, she's so hot. She's so hot, and she was hot then. But this is not page 7.
Yeah. No, I know it.
But Kendall, there is some very real animal abuse in it, which the director said years later he regrets putting it in. He didn't, you know, he's like, I think
oh, fuck that. No, he doesn't. He's just lying because everyone got mad at him.
And I don't really like the animal abuse. I think it distracts the movie as a whole.
I think it's fucking great.
I'm sure you do.
He does.
But still, it's a fucking amazing. They just finally released it on DVD a few years ago. Before that, you could only get it bootleg.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's a fucking awesome movie.
Cannibal Holocaust. Check it out. I'm going to go with speaking of the macabre and sort of satanic rituals, I'm going to go with House of the Devil next.
Yes.
It is a newer film from 2010, but it throws you to the 70s.
And Ty West is a great director who's really good at making these new like vintage-looking movies.
Yeah.
They're so good. He did a segment in VHS, which is a new horror film, which fucking rules.
Check out VHS. It's in theaters right now. I don't know. Does it have wide release?
I don't think it does.
Get torrent it. Do whatever you can to get it. It is one of the best horror movies.
The first fucking half of that movie is so fucking good. I'm trying to find the name of the director. Of the
director that you know.
Into,
I mean,
yes, keep it going. Yeah.
I thought the VHS, just to get off subject real quick, it's just 5 short horror movies. So they're all, you know, 10, they're all like 15 to 25 minutes. So if you don't like one of them, it's going to be done pretty quickly. It's full of breasts, it's full of slashing, full of blood, and everyone dies.
Yeah.
Quite great.
And it's a
the
great,
only thing that I didn't like, which Henry did like, it gets a little rapey up top. So if you're against rapey, sit through it. It's going to be
not
fine.
Against, it's not that I like rapey. I'm just
you literally said that you like when they get raped.
I
said that line.
Extreme.
So.
I like the extremity of the beginning of the movie.
Right.
It's very extreme.
It is
very
extreme.
Dangerous.
That is true.
They get raped sometimes. They get raped in there.
Yeah, they do.
But David Bruckner, who also did The Signal, directed the first segment of VHS, and
which
it's
is,
fucking incredible.
I would
it's
say
one
the
of my
first
favorite
and the
horror.
Last were the two best shorts.
Yeah, that first segment is so creepy. It's so good.
But anyway, yeah, so back to House of the Devil. Wonderful new film. It's you know the 70s sort of slow time. They kind of speed it up a little bit. I think the
timing,
the pacing of the movie is really perfect.
Yeah.
Still got that nice suspense, and it's a slow burn, but the end is fucking awesome.
But it has a slow burn, but there's a moment in the first, like, 30, about, like, 30 minutes.
That hooks you in. Yeah.
Yeah, that you're just like, ah!
You're like, no!
Shit! Like,
yes.
Shit just got fucking real!
Yeah.
Wow!
So that's pretty good.
Yeah, so and a movie that I think it kind of throws back to, just to pop it in very quickly, to The Devil a Daughter. Old Christopher Lee 70s movie, kind of it has a lot of the same elements.
Plot
in
elements,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's still a fucking, yeah. That
House
one,
of
I,
Devil,
I
still
very, very quick.
Loving that Tom Noonan.
Noonan.
Loving that Noonan.
Noonan's great. And I will
do love
say
Tom
also,
Noonan,
House of the Devil is a good film if you're with a girlfriend and she might, you know, not love horror movies. Pop in House of the Devil. I think that's one a couple can watch together.
Yes.
Yeah. Very true.
So my next choice is one that is specifically not to share with other people. This is a movie that, like, I just want to tell people about because I just thought it's so good. It's one of my favorite horror movies I've ever seen, but it's also just, like, unless you're with other people who like what's going on, like, just, you know, if you have to have people who already like horror movies to want to see this movie. It's a movie called Martyrs,
okay.
Which I think we've talked about here on the podcast before. It is genuinely frightening. The whole beginning is very scary, and then it goes into some of the most twisted, fucked up, like, ending sequences that you will ever see. It is fucked up. It's about a girl who escapes from a religious cult.
Ooh. Christina Ricci did that.
Yeah.
Yes, right. But where she escapes from this religious cult, and now she's shadowed by this altar woman creature that, like, follows her everywhere.
Very
and then
cool.
You find out that, then you kind of find out the nature of the cult. It's pretty spooky.
Very nice.
No, it's also a French film.
Okay, cool.
So, and it's very extreme, and it's very fucked up.
Nice.
And I love it.
So the cult's like a good spirited group of merry
men.
Yeah,
it's mostly like, it's just like lots of tambourines with streamers on them and people's going like, hey, mon, mon, na, 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 na. And she's like, fuck this noise. I like rap music.
Yes. The scariest part of the film is when they do improv warm ups.
That was the hardest part. Zip, zap, zap, zip, zap, zap.
Oh, no, I can't watch it. I can't watch it. That's a little inside comedy joke. Nice. All right, awesome. Martyrs, check that one out.
Next on my list, Pet Sematary 2.
Cool.
Which,
all right.
This movie is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I would say if you're looking for a good scare, don't watch Pet Sematary 2.
It's
but if you're looking
a
for a
scare.
Chuckle, it's definitely full of those.
It's fucking hilarious. It's like got an all-star cast of C&D list actors, including Clancy Brown.
Clancy Brown!
Edward Furlong.
How did Clancy Brown become an actor and not an author or a detective?
And Anthony Edwards of ER fame.
That's right. Is that the one with he's got like Edward Furlong's got like that white dog?
Yeah. And the white dog comes back. But it's got one of my favorite kills, Clancy Brown. And it's also got that little shitty blonde kid that was the villain in every 80s movie.
I don't even...
But anyways, he gets wasted by Clancy Brown grabbing his dirt bike, revving up the front tire and shoving it into his face.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And then he goes and buries him in the pets. It's the same concept as Pet Sematary 1, except
they didn't reinvent the wheel. Yeah.
They did not reinvent the wheel, but it's got an awesome like 90s rock soundtrack. It's got like they play Shit List by L7 while Clancy Brown is skinning rabbits. And it's got one of my favorite horror one-liners, Clancy Brown with the drill up to a kid's head and goes, "No brain, no pain."
Yeah.
Clancy Brown has some of the greatest one-liners in movie history.
Yeah, but it's definitely worth a watch. It's got a lot of gore in it, and it's funny as hell. In order to find it funny, you have to have the blackest, darkest sense of humor around.
Of course, but you were already listening to this podcast, so
you're going
to
fucking love it.
And by black sense of humor, you have to love Bernie Mac.
Hell yeah.
And who doesn't love Bernie Mac?
Hit me!
I love him. When you said the skin of the rabbits thing, it just reminded me of Michael Moore and Roger and Me, and just him doing a documentary on Pet Sematary. The recessions really hit them hard. This man's skinning and eating rabbits. No, I just like to kill. Okay, we'll edit that part out.
Edit it out.
Please bring me a big cheese sandwich.
Take another sip of that coffee.
My name is Bronson Moore. Michael Moore. Just get all bubble back.
Yeah, there could not be two more opposite bodies than Roger Moore and Michael Moore.
My name's Michael Moore. Jesus Christ. I got the cheeseburger in my pocket.
Got the cheeseburger in the...
All right. I just got to choose one here, and I'm going to go with, I'm not sure if it's going to be controversial, but Sam Raimi's latest movie, Drag Me to Hell. I really liked it.
I loved it,
I thought
too.
It was full of goop. It was full of horror.
This is your list.
Full of liquids.
I'm on your side on this.
Thank
one,
you.
Ben.
It was full of bile. I mean, we have a
gypsies.
Is it a gypsy curse? Gypsy curse with the, everything is, it's very fun. It's a little predictable. But
I can't stand the CGI. I want puppets. I want puppets.
But Sam Raimi did a great mix of CGI and puppets in that. When there's one scene where this woman goes and she visits a corpse, the corpse falls on top of her, and God knows what was inside of that thing.
Embalming
it was a real
fluid.
Gypsy. It was a real gypsy pinata.
Yeah, this woman goes and then visits she goes to the funeral and somehow knocks over the casket, and the body falls on top of her, and embalming fluid pours out of the body's mouth into the cute girl's mouth.
Right. And there's also I liked it for sort of the same way that you like Pet Sematary 2. Sam Raimi's a great fucking comedic director.
Yeah,
it's really funny.
I mean, Evil Dead 1 and 2 are funny, especially Evil Dead 2 is funny as fuck.
They're great. There's one scene that I thoroughly enjoyed involving a napkin, where the napkin pretty much came to life and she was like stepping on it. And anyway, watch that one, and I will say that one also girlfriend approved. I'm going for the romantic Halloween evening here.
You know what? I have watched that movie with a girl, and it was great.
Yeah,
she loved it.
All right, Henry.
I have a good one that this is also probably pretty good for sitting down with a girlfriend and watching. This is an older movie. It's very scary, especially from its time period. It's the original The Haunting from 1963.
Love it.
It is incredibly scary.
It's like it's great. I say I'm a sucker for haunted house movies. Like I love ghost movies like more than any other type of horror film, and
especially old ones.
I mean, it also but depends with the old ones because they can border on cheesy. And then like I feel like now like I like modern ghost stories because I like using like the modern traps. You know, and the idea of like you know. Modern communications around and stuff like that, but there's something about The Haunting. The way it's directed is so trippy and scary and awesome, and the acting's so good. It's perfect for Halloween viewing. Get yourself a bottle of wine.
Yes.
Roll yourself up a big fat old hog's leg full of sweet, sweet sour diesel.
That sounds amazing.
Fucking just do it, or just do that by yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, get yourself your pizza.
Why would you want a friend or a girlfriend
Fuck
over there when
that.
You're having everything that you need that is better than
Wine,
you touch?
Wine, weed, big old piece of pizza.
Oh my God. Fucking. I wouldn't talk to any if every night I knew I had wine, weed, and a big piece of pizza at my house, I wouldn't have a damn friend in the world. That's it. I got three buddies right there. I mean, I'd have some weird conversations with that Blazing Blunt.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And when I'm done, like halfway through, I'm like, "No, you're my only friend, Blunt."
I
like,
love
I don't
you.
Even fucking like you, motherfucker.
All right, well, you're gonna be done soon.
That's fine.
And when you
old,
it's coming.
Well, we've been doing a lot of movies to watch with your girlfriend.
Yeah, fuck that
I got,
shit.
I got one to watch when your relationship's falling apart. And
yeah,
you hate
each other. I'm gonna watch that one this Halloween.
The Shining.
Yeah,
of course.
The best. Just give me some space movie. Yeah. You know, that's I keep trying. It's like I'm trying to fucking work, all right?
Yeah.
You know? I'm just in here. I'm trying to do something. What's my job, you know? You just got to give me some space, you know? Let me have the entire ballroom to write my book in.
Yeah. And not only that. Yeah, exactly. The entire ballroom. It's just got so many great scares, so many fucked up weird
things. Oh, The Shining is
happening.
One of the best horror. Is it one of the best films of all time?
Yeah. And you also get the added bonus of moon landing conspiracies.
Oh, yes, the moon landing conspiracy. Yeah. I love all that bullshit.
Don't even look it up. Just watch The Shining and see if you can find the clues.
Moon landing is fake, I guess. It's
I
not
guess so.
Fake.
Stanley
it's
Kubrick directed the moon landing, and he gives
I
clues
just feel like
in The Shining.
It would be so much cooler.
Yeah.
He made the moon.
He would have made it look much better.
Yeah, it would have been gorgeous.
Yeah.
There would have been aliens up there and shit.
Can't make it look
his dick sucked.
Too good, though.
No. I feel like Kubrick would be flipping out, just being like, it looks like shit. Just like, listen, we're trying to fake a moon landing here. And he's like, I'm trying to make a goddamn movie.
Well, okay. You're going to really fuck with our conspiracy. Yeah, that's great. I think that was a good book too. One of my favorite books to read.
I would say of one of the better Stephen King books.
No,
same
I'm talking about the one
Cemetery.
That Jack Nicholson wrote in The Shining.
Oh yes.
How many pages is the book you're reading? It was so long. It was 300 pages. How many words was in it? 9 words. It was 9 words. But I got it. I got to the end. That's a great torture for somebody to read the book that he wrote, just page by page.
Yeah, I just wouldn't read it.
You would have to.
I'd act like I was reading it.
Sure, but then you'd be thinking about something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other
boobs.
Great torture is the
boobs.
The other great torture is the PA who
belly
had to
rooms.
Type all of that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a typewriter. There's no control V, control X. Yeah, there's nothing like that. No
good,
control
yeah.
X, no control V.
Yeah, they gave it to some blind kid.
Yeah, he figured it out.
You can't do nothing else with film.
Well, speaking of film, I'm going to take us back to modern day. And you know all those ghost adventure shows and Taps and the Paranormal Adventure, all those shows that are total pieces of shit where where people go into haunted mansions and hotels and then they scream at these ghosts and they say mean things to them. A great movie that has all of those people die is called Grave Encounters.
Grave Encounters is a great movie.
See, I need to see this one.
Grave Encounters is I think it's my favorite horror movie of the year.
Possibly.
That I saw. It's about a film crew who goes into this house, and, you know, they're just as douchey as the guys on Ghost Adventures. The guy's, you know, he's got the spiky black hair, and he's, like, super into it, but he knows shit. He knows nothing.
Oh, yeah, he just goes in there and acts like a big shot, just like a yell. He's just like,
he's yelling
ghost,
at nothing.
Right. Now, you're going to listen to me here, ghost. Right. It's like, yeah, ghost.
You got
to
insert dominance on the ghost. Assert
I hate
it.
That fucking bullshit.
Yeah, and then they get theirs. And I'll tell you, it is what I was watching with Holden McNeely, the ugliest member of the Round Table of Gentlemen.
Yeah.
And,
big, thick neck, fucking shitty Holden McNeely.
Yeah, exactly. He makes. I would rather fuck a salami. But he. We were watching it together, and we were a little bit stoned. We were just kind of drinking there. But we had three legitimate moments where we screamed like young cheerleaders, and then the jocks from the apartment next door wanted us to blow them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I'm telling you, we screamed in such a feminine voice. So Grave Encounters is fucking awesome. Watch that. And the twist at the end, it really blew my mind.
It's pretty fucking great. Yeah. I loved Grave Encounters a lot.
There's something about the found footage that I enjoy when it's based in such reality, but then they just fucking explode it. You know,
yes.
They just like make it too, it's totally insane. I really
found footage is like both the worst and best thing that's ever happened to horror. There's like, because I like first person perspective, it can really put you into the movie. VHS did a really good job of using found footage in a way that was very smart and interesting.
Right.
But
and of course, just to throw it in there, of course, Paranormal Activity. It's not on the list technically.
Yeah, but those are great. That's they're really great. Yeah. The first two are amazing. But the but let's just make a quick plea to any filmmaker who would be listening, any like who could possibly listen to this podcast. Stop doing found footage.
Yeah.
Just stop doing it.
Yeah, for now. And if you do found footage, stop having your characters run so goddamn much.
Yes,
I need drama mean half the time I'm watching these fucking things. I feel like I'm in the middle of the ocean.
And I just also can't stand the whole like, Marcy, film all of this.
Right.
Like, you have to like do all the.
Why? If we're don't ask why.
Just film all of this, Marcy. Never put the camera down, even when you're trying to find something in the dark.
Right.
It just makes no sense.
Well,
that's
what
it takes
me out immediately. Camera.
Yeah, then they switched to night vision. But
that's the Paranormal Activity did it so well. They did that so well with you just set it in one place, you do the thing, you let it capture the whole room. You don't just always, it's not always running around like an idiot and screaming. Right.
Well, and, you know, Paranormal Activity did it. And similar with, like, Grave Encounters, you know, you go into the room, nothing happens, and then they go to the same room four or five times. And it's just timing. You never know when the ghost is going to be there.
Great.
It's a great device when done right.
My next one is a fun one. This is my fun choice because I love it. And I also love this movie because...
It's called Rape Horror.
It's called Raper. Rape Her Again and Again. That's the sequel. This movie is a fun one that I really liked. It's called Candyman. And what I like about Candyman...
I love Candyman so much.
Candyman's
He's
the
got
shit.
A hook for a hand.
Is that I love it. The fact that it's like, it's the movie that makes the ghetto scarier.
Yeah.
I love this idea that there is a ghost making the criminals in the housing projects.
Full of bees.
They are scared. They're scared of Candyman, you know? And it's a city horror movie every once in a while. Like, living in a city, it's like, you can get genuinely scared out in the fucking wilderness all the time because that's where all the rapes happen. But here, in the city where no rapes happen.
I don't know if that's true.
But I'm just saying, besides it's Candyman's a great thing that makes the city scary that's not just getting scared by watching the news.
Because
the news is pretty scary. Did you hear about the guy who got into an argument with the youth soccer coach?
On 14th Street.
Guy stabbed him to death and then cut his ears off?
Yeah. Just happens.
Why? Maybe because he wasn't listening to him.
That's right. Then he took his ears. And, of course, if you steal somebody's ears, put them on your wall, then he'll hear you forever.
Candyman.
All right, don't say it two more times.
Candyman.
We're all Jesus Christ.
Candyman.
Hello, guys. I'm
Candyman.
Hey, I'm actually selling candy now. I'm trying to stay off the streets. I've fixed up my life. Anywho.
Is this your black voice?
No, that's my Ben voice.
Oh, it's Louis Armstrong.
Yeah, your black
voice
is just saying poo-poo a bunch.
Oh, don't worry about it. I ain't going to kill you. I just brought some delicious candies.
All right, moving on. Candyman is fucking awesome. And I will say, Candyman is the most seductive of all the movie serial killers. He's actually very romantic.
He's handsome.
He's handsome, and the things that he says to that chick,
he's in love with her.
It's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I can definitely see getting seduced by him. Every night before I go to sleep, I whisper his name five times in the mirror, and I hope he comes to me.
It's just you brushing your hair over and over again,
Candyman.
Sitting in a nightie, like
Candyman.
Doing candy.
Candyman.
Well, for my next one, I was going to say Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Uh-oh.
Woo!
We have an audible.
My favorite horror movie of all time.
It's great.
See, I was going to say Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but I think I'm going to go with one that a lot of people out there may not have seen. It's a French film.
Yeah?
Man Bites Dog.
I forgot about Man Bites Dog. That movie's so good.
It's fucking great. It's about a documentary film crew.
And it's one of the first of that style.
Yeah,
it was
it is.
Made in 92, 93, I think.
Yeah, it's great. It follows he's not a serial killer. He's just a mass murderer. This
like
fucking,
a spree killer.
Yeah, he's a spree killer. Just a fucking insane, out of his fucking mind, dude. That and one of the there's so many great scenes, and probably the best scene is when he starts using the documentary film crew in his murders. He starts using them as a way to get in the houses. Like, he just kills for money or for fun. He just murders.
Yeah,
he waxes philosophical about like why he murders and the ways that
but
he murders.
But he doesn't. Really has no purpose.
Has no purpose. Like, one of the best ones is he goes to like pretty much like it's like a housing project but for old people, and he knocks on a random door, and this old woman answers the door. And he says, like, we're doing a documentary on elderly people living alone. Like, can we come inside and talk to you? And the documentary film crew is, like, filming him talking to this old woman. And then suddenly he pulls out a gigantic fucking gun, starts screaming at the old woman, and gives her a heart attack.
Yeah, she dies of a heart attack.
And that's how he kills her.
Wow, technically natural causes.
Yeah, technically.
No, it's a good way to get away with murder.
And there's another great, if I could
see. But he does it multiple times?
There's probably 70 or 80 deaths in this movie.
So,
and they do montages where it shows like maybe like 10 murders at a time.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And
that's awesome.
And there's an amazing scene where, like, and then the documentary film crew just fucking goes along with it. And, like, they get caught up in the madness
of
it.
Yeah, like, get into it.
Yeah, they get into it. They become partners with this guy as far as killing. And there's a brutal, brutal fucking rape scene. One of the most brutal out there. And it's the first.
Why did you look at me? I don't like rape. Yeah. I'm just saying I like extreme film.
And this is one of the most extreme ones out
there. It's really good rape.
It's really great.
Some of the best rape I've ever seen.
Yeah,
Death Wish. Death Wish has the most horrible rape scene ever.
But the great thing about that is that it shows the hangover of a rape murder. Of them waking up the next morning and realizing, we're not normal people anymore.
Yeah.
We're fucking rapist murderers.
Yeah. Yes, all of
and
us.
And it's one of my favorite movies. It's a fantastic film.
Yeah, really good movie.
I love it. It's interesting, though, with the camera crew, because there was a fella who just filmed, and it's like new. It's a new phenomenon going on. People aren't helping out necessarily when they see crimes, if they're filming them.
Yeah.
They just, like, stay behind the camera, and it leads to, like, this sort of barrier between reality and fiction. So you can definitely see how a camera crew, if a dude just starts killing somebody in front of them, they're just like, well, you know. We're not even here.
Yeah, like eyes on the wall. Yeah,
yeah. It's definitely a look into the future. It is very like
it's very predictive. It's really good.
Yeah. It's fucking amazing.
Awesome. All right. Well, I got. I guess only one more. It's so hard. I'm gonna do. Suspiria is amazing, but I think I want to do The Sentinel as well.
Yeah. It's almost on my list. I fucking love this movie.
Yeah, so it's sort of in the same vein as Suspiria. For some reason, I like these slow movies as of late, but The Sentinel is really awesome. It involves this, you know, it's like there's a lot of, what is it, Catholicism?
Yes.
Is the major theme of it. A lot of death. And, you know, it's one of the, first of all, what's her name, Bev? From
Beverly D'Angelo's
in the film, and she shows her tit. She's in a lesbian tryst with this gal, and holy Christ.
Yeah.
She is fucking unbelievably hot. So
yeah,
this movie
she was
is
hot
worth it just for that.
And it's got Jeff Goldblum being annoyed a lot.
Really weird.
Yeah. He doesn't have many lines.
But his voice is also dubbed over.
Yeah. I think he did a bad job.
I think he may have done a bad job. Yeah. It's like, it's Jeff Goldblum, and then you someone here like, can I help you with that, miss?
It's like the Innocence of Muslims film, what that guy did. Yeah, I bet you Goldblum was just really Goldbluming it up. And
I finally saw
the
Innocence of Muslims.
Oh, the 13-minute trailer?
I finally watched it.
Did not make our list of best horror movies.
No, it's very boring.
Mm-hmm. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, so The Sentinel, check that one out. It's another 70s horror movie. The women are gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And it's good. Growing up so Catholic, in a Catholic school, I enjoy going
back really
to
great,
seeing that stuff.
And it has one of my favorite ending scenes of all time.
I love The Sentinel. I was really happy with that. That was a pleasant surprise.
It was a pleasant surprise.
And then my final pick is just an overall, just love this fucking movie. We've talked about it a bunch, but just watch it with anybody. It's great. It's good for, it's girlfriend friendly, and it is perfect for group viewings and also watching by yourself, is the movie Insidious. It's on Netflix and Syncu right now.
Good.
Go ahead and take a gizzy gander at it. Fucking smoke a bowl, drink some beers. Anyone talk to you more about it? Because it's just scary, and you're gonna like it. You're gonna be happy with yourself.
Paranormal Activity and the makers of Saw got together, and it's such a fun movie because you can literally see where both of their influences collide.
Oh, yes.
They really do a perfect job of just connecting both of their philosophies of horror.
It's so really
it's
good.
It's pretty graphic, but then they also have those just bizarre, like, did I see a fucking demon in the window?
Yeah.
And it's really cool.
Yeah.
Tiptoe through the window.
And thank God, what is it, Tiny Tim is getting some play again.
He's in that movie.
Tiny Tim made sung tiptoe through the tulips.
Tulips with me.
Scariest voice of all time. Oh, voice was attached to a monster man with a huge nose.
It was funny back in the day, but now it's scary.
Yeah.
Many things that was funny back in the day because we used to be more cruel as a society.
Look at Gallagher. Not funny anymore.
No,
very sad.
Now he's just wasting fucking melons.
Oh, it's terrible. They're starving kids.
Leave the melons alone.
That's right. That's what
I said. Pass the melon over to me. Don't smash it. Fucking cut it up. Put some salt on it.
Aww. Salt on a melon, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Seems interesting.
Well, my final pick is one of the creepiest fucking movies ever made. It's good for solo viewing, absolutely. It's What My Dreams Look Like. Eraserhead.
Yeah.
Love Eraserhead.
Yeah, Eraserhead is not like, it's not a invite the boys over for chicken wings and watch a movie
no.
time. Yeah.
God, I don't know if I could necessarily eat through Eraserhead, and I can pretty much eat through anything.
I can eat through anything.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah.
I'll eat a bunch of linguine and watch Eraserhead.
Well, linguine is fine.
Well, it's David Lynch's first feature film.
His student film.
Yeah, is it a student film? Jesus Christ.
I think we have to pass him to get him out of here because he might come back and murder us if we don't.
I agree. I would love to get him out of my class.
Yeah, yeah. All right, all A's for Mr. David Lynch.
It's so fucking weird. The whole thing really does play out like a nightmare.
But not great.
A scare nightmare. It doesn't have any like jump scares or anything like that. It's just horribly unsettling and scare and just fucking terrifying.
That's amazing.
Because it actually makes you terrified of being a father.
Yeah.
It's like you don't want to start a family after watching
this. And I'm already all the way there.
Yeah. How do I cut them up? Just like regular chickens?
Just like regular chickens.
Look at my knees!
And it's funny, too. Like,
here at Purdue, we only use the freshest people.
There's some weird fucking jokes. And it's also...
But David Lynch was laughing his ass off when he wrote those.
Yeah.
Same thing. And then they were talking about Blue Velvet. When he was doing... When the baby wants to fuck. baby wants to fuck. He was sitting there screaming with laughter.
Oh, yeah.
And he loved it. Because originally the scene in Blue Velvet was in this tank... That his original idea is that it would be helium, so that when he would come out, he'd be like, "Nah, baby wants the fuck."
That's so funny.
It's something funny going on.
I think he's a comedic. He's got a comedic genius of a brain. I saw him on Curb Your Enthusiasm. David Lynch starred as who was he playing?
I forget. Not in Louis.
Louis. Yeah, he was in Louis, and he was like, "Be funny for me. You have 3 seconds." And then he counted down to three, and then
that was really funny.
And he was hilarious in Twin Peaks too.
He's great in Twin
Peaks. Yeah, yeah.
Martin, Agent Cooper.
But I should.
Boy, that's the kind of girl that makes you wish you spoke a little French. I love him.
The other one I would say, going to Denver Lynch, I should have put Lost Highway in my fucking list.
Yeah.
I love Lost Highway.
And I would say Human Centipede 2, always worth a watch.
Yes, and go see VHS if you can in theater. You're going to love it. See horror movies in the theater because it's my favorite way to see it,
dude,
a horror movie.
I saw Eraserhead at a midnight screening. It was fucking sublime.
Yeah,
it was.
God,
like,
I got to see more Lynch movies.
I got to see Blue Velvet at a midnight screening, too.
No!
Like IFC had a David Lynch month like 5 years ago.
Man,
was fucking phenomenal.
I wanted to come back. I want to see them in the theaters.
Nah. Usually Christopher Nolan has a massacre on his hand with the Aurora shooting, but David Lynch, everyone just goes in there. It's totally peaceful, and everyone loves
their
life.
Yeah, it's just film students.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of film students.
Everyone came out of Eraserhead happy that night.
Yeah, everyone was just like, interesting. That's very good.
Yes. In VHS, Henry and I went there together, and I will say I was astonished with the amount of unbelievably hot bosom in that crowd.
There was a lot of beautiful women there for
gorgeous
a horror film.
Chicks. And we're all golfed out. Something about like a chick in a black brassiere all pushing up her big fat tits.
And we were all, we wore good shirts, thank God, because we were in a crowd of, when you go to those things, you got
to
have a good shirt on.
Yeah, you definitely have.
Everybody was like, because
I already know
had,
what shirt I'm wearing too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I had a great shirt on, got lots of like, nice shirt. And you're like, thank you. You know, fuck you. And I was like, oh, my shirt's better than his shirt.
Right.
Yeah. But that was good. That was really good.
Right.
So, well, it's like we were
Who
the hot girls
gonna get
of the
laid
fat
more.
We were the hot girls of the fat weird dudes that were there.
Oh, every fat weird dude wanted to be with us.
Yes, because we were cool.
We were the coolest. We
and you made a set. You made a seat in the handicap. Sit in the handicap seats because he's got a peeing problem.
I don't have a peeing problem. I just pee a lot.
No, he has an alcohol problem.
That's true. We drank 3/4 of a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah, we were, and thank God we were in the liquor store before. And Henry wanted to get like a small little like what was it?
Yeah,
7 ounces.
Yeah, because we should not have drank 3/4 of a bottle of fucking whiskey.
But we did. We loved our experience.
I mean, yes, I was yelling and we had a good time.
I got a full bottle of Jim Beam.
I just wish you could smoke weed in the movie theater.
God, it's the only thing that's missing.
Just let us do it.
Yeah.
Why not just let us do it? Like, just give it up. Say sometimes, we fight and we fight and we fight, and then it's just like, just let them do it. They love it. They love it.
We
like when they're happy, because then we're not worried about, we're not fighting for bills.
That's right.
No. Or for laws. I'm not doing the Occupy in New York. I just want to smoke weed. If you let me just smoke weed, sit in this movie theater, you got a dude forever. Yep. You got my vote.
You can do whatever you want.
I don't care anything.
Come and take 13 bucks from you. You're like, I'm not moving. Just you can have
I'll pay a weed tax.
Absolutely.
Weed tax.
Well, I mean, and
that's
really
be amazing. For the ability, like that would be great, is if you got a card, if you paid like $5
LA
a month.
LA has that, but technically you have to see a doctor, but it's just a shady Indian dude in a fucking lab coat going,
no.
You look tired eyes. Here's your weed. Weed shit.
I'm going further than that. I'm saying if you pay $5 a month, you get a card that says you can smoke weed anywhere.
Yeah.
The smoke weed anywhere card. That sounds right up my alley. I would like that.
If sweet, sweet Satan is listening, please, will you enter the minds of our legislative leaders, and will you show them how fucking fun and sweet and cool smoking weed is? And you let us have it. All right, I'll kill a girl.
All right, well that's fine. We have a death threat on our heads now.
Thank you, Satan. Hail Satan.
Hail Satan. Smoke that sweet weed.
And if any of you out there haven't joined yet, we got a Facebook group now, the Last Podcast on the Left Facebook group, where you can go and post all kinds of weird, fucked up, scary, stupid
and
shit.
And please do. The more weird stuff, like we're going to put up, I literally have archives and archives of shit of just too weird and creepy to put on my own Facebook profile.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start putting it on there all the time. So just anything that's weird.
Yeah. Yep.
Nothing, you know.
It'll
try not to show your dick on there. You know, like, try not to, like, just put up just straight pictures of
your penis. If you have a weird-looking dick, put your picture on there.
If it's a scary dick.
I mean, what dick
then
isn't
fine.
Scary?
If you put it in a little costume, that'd be fine. I'd be down with
dress it up.
And as one of our listeners said, send in all the weird kids to the back of the bus. You're not allowed on the Cave Comedy Radio site anymore.
Yeah, fuck that site.
Who wants to be on there?
You're getting all mixed with nobody asked you.
On the Facebook group.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with all that stuff. Yeah, you're just getting mixed up in the wind there. We're over here. We got a special little cave of our own.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And we love you and we accept you as long as, you know, everything you put on there is extremely terrifying, which is a pretty good
I think that's easy.
Mm-hmm.
That's an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's been this episode. Hopefully you got some good viewing ideas. And hit us back as well if you have some movies that we missed.
Absolutely.
I'm sure there's a whole bunch of shit we haven't seen.
Absolutely.
And that's okay, guys. So we will talk to you soon. Happy Halloween.
Magusalations. Yes. Have a happy Samhain. Enjoy your All Hallows Eve.
Yes.
Hail me!
Hail you?
Yeah.
Sure.
Right.
Magusalations.
Goodbye.
Good day.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.